Max Verstappen had to wait, but eventually he found his way past Charles Leclerc to win the first sprint of the 2022 season. Welcome back to the Grid Talk podcast. Today we'll be reviewing the sprint for the 2022 Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix dell'Italia del whatever. I'm your host, Lou Edwards, and joining me today are Tom Downey from the Everything F1 podcast.
Hello.
And we've got engineering master Jack Watson.
Hello.
So, first sprint race with the new regulations, first sprint race of the 2022 season. And I mean, personally, I think it was better than the ones we saw last year. But I want to hear from you guys. So, Tom, we'll start with you. As someone who is, I think, was a self-proclaimed skeptic of the sprint races, especially last year, has this one changed your mind at all? Have you been warmed to the idea of a sprint?
Not really. No, it's just I stand by what I said last year. It was it still feels like the first stage of a race. I get it's not entirely that because there is an element of, well, drivers know they don't have to pit. Drivers know they, you know, it's basically just 100 kilometers of flat out balls to the wall racing. But I just don't think it fixes that sort of fundamental issue. It was better this year, I would say. Obviously, we had a battle for the lead, which is a weird thing to say during something that's technically a qualifying event, but there we go. There was a good bit of on-track battling between Max and Leclerc. Obviously, you know, the battle for the lead. Sainz and Perez working the way of the pack very nicely. K-Mag putting up a good fight, but it's just it feels too close to a race. And there was a point where Crofty said, "Oh, I wish we could go on for another 10 laps." And I thought to myself, "Yeah, and that's called a race." Don't get me wrong, I am all for on-track activity like this. And people who are going to the track, it means they get more value for their money if they've bought a weekend pass because they get to see one elimination qualifying or whatever we call it. There's then the sprint event, and obviously we have the race tomorrow or the main event tomorrow plus the two free practice sessions. I just think maybe the sprint is in the wrong place. Maybe we have both practice sessions on a Friday. We have knockout or elimination quali on Saturday, in the morning, with then the sprint in the afternoon. And then on a Sunday, we have the main Grand Prix. Also, they can't keep calling it qualifying if they're going to be awarding points from position one down to eight. You don't get points for qualifying. You get points for a race finish, surely. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but sure, you know, that's what it is. F1 themselves don't call it a sprint qualifying anymore. They call it the sprint, which I think is good because it sort of differentiates between qualifying and the sprint. But when I noticed as well that when Max crossed the line and he said, "Is that it?" It was sort of like, "Oh, that's it. Okay, cool. Right. Yeah. Sounds. See you tomorrow, lads. Have a good one." That also could be because he told them to shut up. So swings and roundabouts. But maybe it'll bed in a bit more as the season goes on. Maybe I'm reticent to change. As with me, is definitely going to be an element of that. But the qualifying element of Formula One isn't something which really needed tweaking. What I will say is with the 2022 cars, I think it made the sprint better than last year, than the events we had last year. And I think part of the reason people enjoyed the sprints last year is because in each of them, there was a ding-dong between Hamilton and Verstappen. Also, obviously, Hamilton in the sprint quality in Brazil last year had that sensational surge through the pack. If you take sort of things like that out of it, which we saw today, it was almost like a sort of practice race start for tomorrow. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you mean, but you did touch on a point there, which I was going to ask you about, Jack. The fact is, Imola, there's only really one overtaking zone, and that is down into Tamburello. And we have seen that these cars are able to actually race in these sprint races. You know, there was overtaking at a track where people were slightly skeptical about having a sprint race, thinking of the lack of overtaking. But it would set a good precedent for considering the next two sprint races this season are going to be in Austria and then in Brazil again. So it could mean that we have exciting races, but it also does mean that tomorrow we're looking at a race that could actually be quite close and very competitive.
Yeah, I suppose if you do treat it as that practice race that Tom mentioned earlier, then it does sort of bode well to when you scale it up over three times the distance, essentially. I think with the way that they've sort of done it, though, we're still at that weird point where it's both too long and too short, seemingly. Although some of those further back in the pack didn't actually really get their tyres going too much, so we'll see how that develops. I think it's also exacerbated by the fact that the DRS is so powerful. We were seeing most of the moves being made there were done before the braking zone. And I think it's not so much that this is sprint's problem, this is more F1's problem, but the sprint is exaggerating it, especially today. They really need to be a bit more adaptable. Maybe we'll see them modify it before the Grand Prix, shorten it up a bit to actually let the battle go to the braking zone. I think it would be a good opportunity to do that. I doubt it, but you know, this is F1 after all. But looking on the bright side, yeah, it does mean that we should have people being more willing to go for lunges. And when it does matter for all the points all the way down to 10th and big points at that, they may go for moves further around the track that you wouldn't have necessarily thought so. You never, in sprint, they're always going to take it easy.
Yeah, of course, you only have the one DRS zone at Imola, so I think they tried to make it as powerful as two, maybe, because there was some incredibly quick cars, especially when you're on board with either the Ferraris or the Red Bulls, especially when they're overtaking the McLarens. My God, they were fast down that main straight. Just going to show how powerful DRS at Imola is and just how powerful it is going to be for the race tomorrow. But Tom, we'll now move on to the actual results of the sprint. Of course, technically on pole for this sprint, there was Max Verstappen. Lost it off the line. It was a pretty poor start. Came under threat not only from Leclerc, who took the lead, but also then Lando Norris. But he stayed in there and he got the race win.
Sorry, mate. Yes. Max really bogged down at the start. It was like his car went into anti-stall, or you know, I think he said on the radio that he lost gear sync. You know, whether he was being facetious, I'm not entirely sure. It was a good recovery from Max. But there was one point where I thought Lando was going to take P2 and Perez had made a storming start, so Max did well to hold on to P2, which is something I never thought I'd say. And then Leclerc got a sensational launch, as did everyone else around Max. So he almost got swallowed up, but he kept his foot in it. And this is a different side that we're beginning to see of Max, where he wasn't straight away just like, oh yeah, let me at him. He was biding his time, and he was just beginning to close up the gap towards the end, and then he gently put the pressure on Leclerc, then got a bit of graining on his front right. That gave Max all the ammo he needed, and then he took him was it the last but one lap? I think he overtook him. I thought he was going to leave it until the last lap, to be honest. Mainly because, you know, he didn't want to give Leclerc DRS behind him, but I did. But then, as soon as he was past him, he was way off into the distance. So that didn't even matter at the end. But yeah, it was a good overtake. It was a ballsy overtake. We saw how powerful DRS was. We especially saw how powerful it was for the Red Bulls. they absolutely flew down that straight when they had DRS. Leclerc didn't make it easy. He didn't just roll over and say, yeah, come on, sir, come through. You know, he was proper, like, if you're in this position, you have to fight for it. But Max basically forced him to commit to one side, went the other way, and then just did, I was going to say, Danny Rick phrase, and I was going to say he licked the stamp and sent it, which is exactly what he did. And then, yeah, he just brought it home, and his car didn't blow up.
I think that's what Red Bull would consider an improvement, especially given last weekend. But Jack, P2 for Charles Leclerc, of course, the space started for the sprint, still very much within it. But I think Ferrari are going to be concerned with their tyres, given that was ultimately what let them down. Leclerc looked like he was cruising, keeping a nice steady gap to Verstappen for a lot of the race. And then suddenly his front started degrading, and then Max was able to catch up, overtake, and win by, I think, just over 2 seconds.
Yeah, he said he was saying that it was graining badly. It's sort of that, it's that, again, why it's that distance. You don't have to stop, you don't want to stop. So you'll take the sauce for as long as they can go. Seemed like it was all going to go well, didn't it, off the start? It's just a shame how quiet that circuit got afterwards. But yeah, no, it's the difference is, I believe, I'm not 100% on this, but I believe this is the first time we'd see a soft tyre run in the race. Is that correct? I'm pretty sure the last three, we've mainly been using medium and hard for the full race distance. So I'm not too sure if they'll still move over to that, or if they will stick with the soft. If that is the case, then it could be Ferrari in trouble, but they've got more time to play out on the medium tyre. That may just do a start on the softs while the track's still rubbering in, and then do the legwork on the mediums, assuming they do need to use the softer compounds. To be honest, like, given the history that they've had in this season, it's silly to rule them out. It's not like they won't be fighting there. And we've seen some masterful performances from Leclerc even in this short time of the season so far. So I reckon it'll be a fun one tomorrow.
Well, I think we all certainly hope so. The last thing we really want is a boring race around Imola, but I think given today's racing, it could be close. And Tom, something that could also maybe play slightly against Ferrari tomorrow is the fact that Perez managed to recover all the way up to P3, and I believe set the fastest lap of the sprint as well. Someone may have to double check that for me, but I believe that is the case. So yeah, impressive drive from Perez. Again, he didn't seem to be having any real tyre issues as well. So he could be right in the mix for tomorrow. And it's, you know, it really is all to play for between Ferrari and Red Bull.
Yeah, Perez had a storming day at the office. And I think he's one of the drivers who benefits or suits a sprint event more, because we've seen that he's not always the best in qualifying. Although, interestingly, Imola is the one of only, I think, two places or three places in the past where he's actually out-qualified Max, where he qualified here P2 last year in traditional quali. But, he had a storming drive through the grid. You know, he was making moves. You know, he was going around people. He absolutely yeeted past Magnussen with the help of DRS. And did exactly what Red Bull need that sort of second gunner to do. He was right up there. He wasn't that far off the back of Leclerc by the end of it. And if it would have been 10, 15 laps longer, we'd have probably been looking at a Red Bull 1-2, I'd say. He had a really, really, really good drive today. He's put himself right where, like I said, right where Red Bull need him to be. Sorry, I malfunctioned then. Bit like a Red Bull engine. He's giving the team what they need, in the sense that they've got two cars at the front, which is why he was brought into the team in the first place and why they renewed his contract from last year into this year. Obviously, Sainz has done the same, which we'll get into in a moment. But yeah, it was a pretty damn good drive from the Mexican Minister of Defense today.
Yeah, maybe he gets promoted to the Minister of Attack. I mean, it was some great work. And yeah, just like Tom mentioned, Jack, Carlos Sainz coming back from, I believe, P10 after his crashing qualifying yesterday. But, you know, that Ferrari looked quick in the hands of Carlos Sainz. He was making overtakes left, right and centre. Managed to close down Lando Norris, especially in that latter stage of the race, very quickly lapping almost a second faster than McLaren to put himself P4. And as I said, like between Red Bull and Ferrari right now, this track is so close. And that is, you know, emphasised by the fact that it's Red Bull Ferrari starting the race tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be no quarter asked or given. We've now actually got all four cars as together as the teams could hope for. Obviously, they're going to want a 1-2, but when you've got drivers on as equal a level as these four seem to be, it's what we want as fans, certainly. This is, I think, going to help Sainz this weekend. The mistake in quali, it's like you see it all of a sudden, even on the back of fresh signings, like it's another mistake from a science trying to over push and prove he can be that number one. Ferrari, very crucial time for him to put a little bit in that team.
I'm sorry to do this, chat. Do you mind repeating everything you just said?
Yeah, I should have seen that coming. Okay, so no, this is important. This is crucial for Sainz. This is his opportunity to prove that he can now head up that team after, yeah, another mistake in quali, as we saw many people say. There was a very strong recovery drive, especially in such a short window of time. So, yeah, before Ferrari start picking and choosing whether or not they will just main Leclerc, now Sainz needs to get in and prove that he can take ownership of that team. He can control things when he needs to. If he can finish right on, even if it's just right on Leclerc's gearbox, that'll be a very good representation of himself to the team.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of rumours and a lot of speculation around Sainz, even though he has just signed a new contract with Ferrari, which is, of course, going to do him a lot of good. It shows that the team have faith in him. But now he's in the car, you know, that can win a race. It can even win a championship. And he's making mistakes. He's making errors. He's not helping the team out in regards to the Constructors' Championship. So, yeah, I mean, big pressure on Sainz, but, you know, that recovery drive is going to do his confidence a world of good and knows that he can push on for tomorrow. So, Tom, fifth place, Lando Norris. I mean, fifth for McLaren, given the start of the season, is not going to be their worst nightmare. Of course, Norris did start third, but realistically, given the cars that were going to come from behind, like Perez, like Sainz, it was unlikely they're going to hold it. So P5 is still respectable in that sort of sense.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think that's probably about as far as McLaren realistically we're going to be expecting to get. I think it's safe to say that Lando always knew that he was going to drop back out of third, barring a sort of crash or something in front of him. But no, he was given the struggles McLaren have had at the start of this season, I think that was as good as it was always going to get for them. And for him to sort of hold on isn't the right word, because he was never really at threat from whoever even was P7, K-Mag, I think. He was never really going to get overtaken by those who were behind him. And Perez and Sainz, you could be fairly certain that they were going to make a move past him regardless. It's a good day at the office for McLaren. It's nice to see them both. You know, they're both into Q3. They both had good Friday qualifyings and they both did well today. it's nice to see them closer towards the front. I hope this is a sign that they're beginning to get on top of the issues that they had. And I want to emphasize, it's nice to see both McLaren's rights up there. I think, if anything, Danny Ric looked stronger than Lando Norris today. Yeah, he was, but Lando, damage limitation isn't the right word, but you hopefully people listening know what I mean when I say that this is the best that they could have really got, because they're not realistically going to be fighting with Ferrari or Red Bull, certainly not yet.
Yeah, McLaren still have a lot of issues that they need to sort out and need to refine before they're going to think about, challenging the likes of Ferrari or Red Bull. But yeah, P6 for Daniel Ricciardo, Jack. He was getting a bit dicey with Magnussen and Perez at the start. But, you know, he got the move done on Perez eventually, using his soft tyres to his advantage. And, yeah, pretty much just cruised them to P6. It's a good enough result, as Tom's already mentioned. It's just, this is where we'd expect the McLaren to be, the third best car on the grid, arguably. So, yeah, they're not going to be too disappointed.
No, I mean, this is their opportunity to start getting on top of their supplier, isn't it, really? While Mercedes is still struggling, they've now got a chance to make a gap. And, if McLaren wound up finishing up this season in P3, I can't say they'd be too disappointed. It's where they finished last time. So, especially given how it started. So, if they can keep up that momentum, that would really work out for him. It's great to see Ricciardo now on Lando's pace. After a couple of torrid years, he's finally getting a bit more consistent in bringing in those points finishes, up top five, middling performances when the car allows him. Pretty much. He sort of echoed Lando's sorts of, this is as good as we could hope for, because when the Ferraris and Red Bulls are blasted past you at that pace, you kind of know where you're at. But it's still best of the rest. Just keep plugging at it. And hopefully we'll see some upgrades come in.
Yeah, McLaren will be grateful for the points. There's 7 more points that they're taking off Mercedes, who, of course, didn't score any today. And, Lando is now, he's well into the top 10 in the Drivers' Championship, with Ricciardo only just outside and with opportunity to gain some big points tomorrow. But then behind Daniel Ricciardo, it was, of course, Valtteri Bottas, Tom. And you know what? Not given the issues that have been sort of plaguing that Alfa Romeo, both in quali and then again in practice this morning. P7 is a nice result. Couple of points in the bag for Alfa Romeo as well, and probably quite a happy fin at the wheel.
Yeah, Bottas sort of just went about his business today. He had a good day at the office. He put in a stormy move. I can't remember who he overtook, because I was too busy thinking, whoa, was that Bottas going that late on the brakes into a corner and doing an actual overtake? But no, credit to him. Yeah, like I said, I can't remember who he was, who he went around, but sensational move that was. It was proper sort of Danny Ric-esque. I think it was Monza 2016 or 2017, possibly 2016, when he overtook Massa going into turn one. It was that late on the brakes that Bottas did it. He's evidently got real confidence in that car, which I think last year, when it was announced that he was leaving Mercedes and going to Alfa Romeo, a lot of people probably thought, really? Or people probably thought, well, we're not going to see you in Q3 again. You're going to be out in Q1. How the tables have turned. He proper Hadouken that one, didn't he? Because now both Merck's right in Q2, didn't get in the points. And he's saying in Q3, sipping a beer, saying traditions. So, he's having a good run at the minute, Bottas. Maybe it's because he knows he's got a multi-year deal, because obviously he never had that in Mercedes, that would have been playing on his mind. But he just looks confident, looks happy, looks relaxed. He's putting in some good moves today. Especially given his teammate obviously unfortunately crashed out at the start of the race with after that incident with Gasly. He did well to bring home some points to the team, secured a good starting position for tomorrow. Just all round, a good day for him.
Yeah, very, very solid. Same may not be said for the driver in P8, Kevin Magnussen. Gambled on the medium tyres, knew that they'd be a slow initially, and probably Haas were hoping that those tyres would have come to him towards the end of the race. Didn't really play out that well that way. He managed to keep Fernando Alonso behind for the entire sprint. But from there, I think maybe Haas will be regretting the decision slightly and maybe hoping that they put Magnussen on those soft tyres.
Yeah, I think they were banking on the soft cars around them suffering a lot more from deg, maybe more towards what we saw with the front four. But further in the midfield, it just didn't really seem to bite into the those on the softs. Bit of a slap on the wrist for Magnussen, seeing some of that old school uber aggression coming in, a little bit of weaving, though I can kind of see why they didn't take it further, because it was probably tyre weaving, and Perez just sort of, the way he was trying to work out which side to commit to into the second chicane sort of exacerbates it. But I mean, Haas have been openly admitting that they were much more preferring the cold, wet conditions of Friday. And now that we had pure dry running, it's not so much play to their car. The balance was a bit off. But it's still a point, but it's still a point in a Haas. I mean, I don't know about anyone else, but I'm still somewhat getting used to that, which is great. It's great to see that they are able to fight with these well-established top-ish runners. Now they just need to dispel this whole white Ferrari myth that's been being flung around now. But look, it's still a great position. If some weather checking that I just done as well is to prove to be correct, Sunday could fall in there because I thought it was going to be dry, and it's now not looking so certain. So they could be doing a bit of a rain dance tonight.
Just about got that. But yeah, like the chance of rain tomorrow could really throw a curveball into this, and yeah, who knows what will happen. I mean, given how much the grid struggled yesterday in those wet conditions, ironically into Acqua Minerale, it could be a testing race if some rainfall does decide to fall. And we have seen wet races in the past at Imola, especially in the last couple of years, and they've always been quite tasty. So, Tom, the first of the non-point scorers in the sprint, Fernando Alonso, P9, started P5, didn't really seem to have the pace, he didn't get a great start to begin with, and then he, Bottas, Sainz, Perez, it all then sort of just, found their way past, and they just could never find a way past Magnussen. I'm sure you probably won frustrated Spaniard by the end of that sprint.
Yeah, a bit disappointing for Alonso. I think he was always going to lose places to Sainz and Perez coming through, but he was. I'd have liked to have seen a bit more from him today. Maybe a bit more aggression or a bit more. Almost a bit more fight. It was like he'd almost have given up before it had even really started. But I don't know. He was it just wasn't quite his day today. But he's still starting in the top 10 tomorrow. Not that sort of really means anything anymore. I do wonder about the reliability, because Ocon has had gearbox issues already, and Alonso bogged down, sorry, not bogged down, but he didn't even get moving initially on the formation lap. And then he eventually got going, and I doubt it was him not pulling the clutch pedal in all the way, given he started an enormous number of F1 races. So hopefully it's not something terminal. Whatever it was, we didn't see it rear its head today during the actual sprint. But I don't know, it's just, you know, given what Alonso is capable of, it's a shame that we didn't see more from him today.
Yeah, he's had some spectacular starts in the sprint. I remember that Silverstone last year in the first sprint. What an epic start he had before slowly falling down the field. But it was amazing to see. And then ran out the top 10, even though it doesn't mean anything, Jack, because no points for 10th place. But Mick Schumacher, and I think we have to give a special shout out to Mick Schumacher, because this will be his first ever top 10 start in a for a Formula One Grand Prix. And while he also did start on the medium tyres, just like Kevin Magnussen did, it didn't seem to plague him as much as it did for Magnussen. He still had relatively good pace. I mean, he was stuck behind, stuck in a massive Vettel train at one point. He managed to break free and, you know, 10th place, starting in the top 10 for for the first time. He'll be looking at it tomorrow and go, right, this is his chance, really, to get some good points down.
Absolutely. I think you pretty much summed it up. It was a phenomenal run. Lovely little move around the outside at Tamburello chicane on Vettel. I think that might have been a bit of sort of showmanship, because I think the Haas can significantly outperform that Aston Martin. So you may as well learn while you can. But yeah, no, it's a phenomenal start. As you say, they're now starting in a points-paying position. So his team are going to be pushing everything they can to get him some decent points on the board. We know the car's capable, and he's learning at a good rate, I'd say. He's had that same sort of slow start to the first year, second one sort of comes on song. He's sort of winding up a bit now, if this is to continue. So, yeah, no, great run, great start, and he has got good reason to keep his hopes up for the main race, for the feature race.
Yeah, he definitely will be. I thought for some reason I had it in my head that he already scored points this season, but I've just checked and I saw he's on none. And I was like, oh no. I really do hope that he is gets points. But now we're going to move on to the second half of the grid, Tom. And let's face it, they got absolutely no TV coverage throughout that, because the top 10 was quite a battle. So there's not really going to be much that we can say, really, because we didn't really see anything. But P11... George Russell, and we may as well rope in Lewis Hamilton along with him, because qualifying yesterday wasn't good for Mercedes at all. We may have expected them to come through the field a little bit better, but both of them got poor starts, and then they just got stuck in a train and just really just left with nowhere to go.
Yeah, it's the first time since, what, Japan 2012, I think they said, that neither Mercus got into Q3. And I did chuckle to myself a little bit when I was watching the pre-race coverage, and Anthony Davidson said, oh, no, I'm pretty confident they'll work their way up the grids. You know, they've got a lot to give. Yeah, how did that go? They're just Merc in general, they're just poor. That's great, isn't it? Sorry, I say that as a Red Bull fan. I know that's going to irritate some people, but talk about a fall from grace almost. There's something, you know, evidently that's not quite fundamentally right with that car, and there's the porpoising. You know, you see it. George Russell looks like he's going to come out with a migraine or something from all the whiplash. The car looks like it's twerking like Nicki Minaj down the straight sometimes. And it just doesn't look confident going through the corners. It just seems to lose pace and just, yeah, you know, it's just, and I'm not for a second saying that Hamilton ain't easy to count because it's not, okay? But good drivers or outstanding drivers like Hamilton and Russell can only get so much out of what is, like, you know, they'd probably be better off taking an ice cream truck around or something. It's just not happening for Mercedes at the moment. I don't know if there needs to be like a fundamental error redesign or what. I'm not an engineer, but not a aerodynamics engineer by any stretch. It's just not happening for them. And it's, I think some people in F1 are obviously going to say, oh, it's, oh, boo-hoo, Hamilton, you're down there, you know, all the rest of it. I'm not saying that for a second. What I am saying is it's nice to see change at the top because we've had so many years of Mercedes dominance. What I don't want to see is Ferrari or Red Bull now have the same kind of run that Mercedes have had. We had it with Red Bull from 2010 to 2013. I don't want to see that with another team because we'll just end up in the same cycle. Then another team will come through. I don't want to say it's a shame that Mercedes are down there, because I'm sure we'd all like to see everybody on an even keel. But if you want to watch that, you go and watch the Spec Series, you go and watch F2 or something. Because F1 is as much about the cars as it is about the drivers. But yeah, not a good day at the office for Mercedes. I think they both went down a position even after Joe was crashed out. So that's all you need to know, really.
Yeah, it was a very anonymous race from Mercedes, which, to be honest, Tom, keep the Mercedes bashing coming. I don't mind it. Jack will probably, a bit more on Mercedes wanting to come back up the field, but it just wasn't to be for them. 12th place was Yuki Tsunoda. AlphaTauri have not looked great. They were both out in Q1 yesterday. So 12th is a fairly decent recovery from Yuki. But Gasly in P17 got involved in that incident with Zhou Guan Yu at the very start and then could only find his way past the Williams from there. It still leaves a lot to be done for the local team this weekend.
Yeah, not what they want in front of their home crowd. I think he might deserve a bit more praise. He did make up 4 spots, and I believe he was already ahead of Joe. I think. I don't know, he's fallen off my list. it's a difficult one for them. The one takeaway that I could say from that is that it seems that their race car is better than their quali car. There's some crumb of comfort. That's assuming the conditions stay as they were today. If they move to closer to yesterday, then expect them to fall away again. But I think we've seen this more this season than I remember for a while, is certain cars favouring certain tracks more. This is just seeming to be one of their dummy ones. It's one that's going to plague them. So I'll just be getting through, if they can lock in 2 points, if some catastrophe happens up front and they can grab a point or two, then great. But it'll just be a case of getting through this one, I think, for the pair of them. Just making up spots where they can and try it. Just keep trying, keep hanging on for this weekend.
Yeah, just keep going. It's just like, I think they're just hoping. You know, Gasly, we've sung his praises many times on this podcast, just how good of a driver he is. He got, involved in a silly accident today. One that was very much a racing incident as well. It's hard to judge who was really at fault there, but it kind of screwed his race, and I'm sure he'll be hoping that whatever was plaguing him, maybe picking up more positions today will go away tomorrow and he'll be able to actually compete and maybe, find himself probably not in the points, but at least further up the grid. Tom, then P13, Sebastian Vettel, and then P15 for Lance Stroll. Vettel was holding on. He qualified I want to say he did qualify in the top 10. I may be, or just outside.
He did. He qualified ninth.
It was a great qualifying, but my God, was he hanging on for dear life. I think you were looking a bit like the F1 game for Vettel, defending from the absolute onslaught of cars that were coming from behind. And eventually, just in those last laps, he couldn't hold on it anymore. You know, Schumacher got past, Russell got past, Tsunoda got past, but still ahead of Lewis Hamilton. So, every cloud.
But I think it tells us all we need to know about Mercedes-powered cars in 2022, that we're celebrating him almost getting P13. I don't really know what to say about the back of the grid, because we didn't see any of it, understandably so, because there was a lot going on in front with our mini race. I still refuse to call it qualifying because it wasn't. Not that I'm stubborn. Vettel just, cool, he was there. He didn't have COVID. He stared longingly into Mick's eyes. He drove a car around quite slowly. That's about a normal F1 weekend for him now these days. If you think back to 10 years ago, we're in the 2012 season when, he was ding-donging with anybody and everybody, especially the first seven races of the season when we had different winner each race or the rest of it. How the mighty have fallen. We can say the same about Hamilton, to be honest. Seb, just how much longer do you think he's really going to go on? He's not going to want to drive around at more or less back of the grid. Aston Martin are the only team without points. Do I even think they'll get a point this season? I honestly don't know, looking at them. How much longer do I think is he really going to go on in F1 that much longer? How can he? He's got other interests and hobbies and all the rest of it. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him become full-time advisor to Mick or something like that, take the role that obviously Michael would have filled, if he wasn't so tragically injured. I don't know. Stroll, I forgot you existed. You didn't crash with the Tiffy, so well done. Good job, bro. It won't be long until the track marshals have red flags, yellow flags, black and white flags, checkered flags. And when they see Stroll and Latifi coming, they have a Canadian flag, which basically means everybody run, because something's about to go down. We're going to get maple syrup on the track and everything, and there's just going to be people everywhere, and it's just going to be carnage. So well done, Stroll, for not crashing. You did a good job, buddy. I'm sure your dad's really pleased that he picked you instead of Alonso for that team. Don't know what else to say.
It's fine. I mean, I'm sure the Aston Martin finance department will be incredibly happy so far with what Vettel and Stroll have been doing. No incidents thus far this weekend, and I think they're all looking good under under the cost cap. There really is not much to talk about in the back. We got behind that Lewis Hamilton 14th, got a poor start, couldn't make his way back. I assume he'll be able to probably gain more positions tomorrow. I think that's where we're going to really see Mercedes shine. P15, Lance Stroll, again, it's such a short race. There's not really time to look at and check in on how everyone's doing. 16th, Esteban Ocon. He was recovering after gearbox issues forced him out of qualifying. Gasly P17, we've already mentioned, with him having his collision with Zhou Guanyu. And then Jack, I guess we just talk about the two Williams at the back, who seem to be getting less and less blue as this weekend goes on. Of course, they were a bit more blue yesterday, but they've taken a bit more paint off that car to save some weight, but didn't seem to really be doing them much good. 18th, 19th, it's where we expect them to be tomorrow.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Williams rejuvenation hasn't happened, has it? It's very sad to see, but it's what it is. So they're just going to probably become the new Haas. It's just running around and take the wind tunnel time at the end of the year. Yeah, there's not much to say. They swapped places, as far as I can tell, and Albon gained an extra freebie from Joe. So, yeah, that's kind of it. Everyone else just sorted off up the road, didn't they? I don't know if they got stuck in Vettel's DRS train early on, or if they were just...
I think from the times it was like Ocon who was making up the back of the of the train. I don't think they were even involved in it.
So they were just there.
They were just there.
Okay, well, you did what they'd all be worried about in the sprint race. They just stayed out of trouble, kept their noses clean for once for the TV, and they didn't cost themselves any more money. So that's good.
Well, not today. Albon did yesterday when his brakes went hadouken and just...
I have no idea what happened to them, to be honest.
I've read some things, but I'm not sure whether it was true. Some people have said that there was stuff left in them. They just went kabam, but yeah. Nobody knows what happened. It was some explosion, and I think Albon would have been a bit hesitant maybe in practice this morning, going out with those braces in case they decided to do it again. Honestly, I don't understand how any of these drivers ever go out in the cars again when they have either any sort of brake failure. That would scare me out to death, like going at 200 miles an hour and realising your brakes are just not going to work. So, yeah, well, we've got through all 20... 19 of the drivers that finished. Of course, Zhou Guanyu retired on the first lap after a bit of a collision. But it's time to move on to the good old predictions. So we'll start with the podium, as always. And Tom, we'll start with you. Who are you seeing on the podium for the Grand Prix tomorrow?
In order?
Please.
Leclerc, Max, and Sainz. That's 1, 2, 3, by the way.
I was going to say shock win for Sainz. Yeah, thank you, Tom. I've lost it now. Jack?
I've got Leclerc taking the win, Sainz in second, and Perez in third. I think Max is going to DNF again.
Do you know what? That's just not even like... you can't even say you won't. But I'm gonna have faith in the Red Bull technology engine or whatever it's called. I'm going to say Max for the win. I think Red Bull are going to just be a bit better on tyres. I'm going to go 1-2 for Red Bull. I'm going to go Max for the win, Perez second with Leclerc third. And now it's time for the bold predictions, and me saying that the Red Bull engine's going to hold up may come back to haunt me and may seem to be a bold prediction. But Tom, what is your bold prediction?
No Red Bull engine blows up or has a mechanical issue or an electrical issue.
That's brave. I have that much faith, Tom. That is, it's almost like godlike amount of faith you have in that Red Bull engine. But Jack, what about yours?
Would help if I'm muted. I was going to say double points for Haas, but given Mick is already in points, I will say that's not all that bold. So I'm going to say double points for the AlphaTauri. So I reckon they pull something out or some cacophony happens in front of them. But yeah, home team for Faenza celebrations.
Fair enough. I was going to go with a bold prediction. See, I'm 50-50 with my bold prediction. I was going to say that neither Mercedes gets points tomorrow. I'm going to say they stay outside the points.
I was thinking that, but is it really a bold prediction?
Exactly. But like, I do think the Mercedes is going to have good race pace. Like, full length, once strategy gets involved. Because we were talking before the show, Mercedes really didn't have much deg on their tyres at all. They could have probably pushed a lot harder. It was probably not worth risking it just in case one of them had an accident. We know what George is like around this track.
Yeah, especially when he takes Bottas.
Exactly. So, you know, I think when it comes to when push comes to shove tomorrow, and when things are really when things really matter, because let's face it, the teams are not going to treat the sprint like an actual race. I think they're going to be a better chance, but I'm also going to say as a bold prediction that they actually just stall and get absolutely nowhere and end up out of the points. So yeah, so that is all from us today. If you are listening to our show live, you'll know that we do live stream all of our shows on YouTube. So make sure to subscribe and also make sure to turn bell notifications on as well, so you are notified every time that we go live and you can then join in on the chat there. But if you are listening out of time from when we live stream, just know that we do live stream all of our shows on YouTube. So if you do want to listen to our podcast as it's being recorded and also want to ask us questions, you know, head to our YouTube channel, click subscribe, and then hit the notifications. Along with YouTube, of course, we're available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Omni Studio, Verbal, as well as the F1 Chronicle website. So just search for the F1 Grid Talk podcast. And if you're a SkyQ or a Sky Glass customer, you can find our podcast linked on the featured podcast section of the Sky Sports F1 page. So thank you, Sky. This is not a plug. This is just a thank you. And if you're stuck with something to listen to between now and the race tomorrow, we do have a massive back catalogue of shows. So if you're stuck for something, you know, we've got over 180, almost 190 shows for you to go back and listen to, not just race reviews or qualifying reviews, but also more interviews or more documentary style podcasts. You know, things about Ayrton Senna or the 1994 Benetton conspiracy. So if you've got time, make sure to check them out. If you give us a 5-star review on iTunes, we will also give you a shout out on our next show. So any feedback, of course, is most welcome for our show, but a special shout out for all of you that give us a 5-star rating. We also have a Patreon, so if you'd like to support the podcast and help towards better mic lights and recording equipment for our host, any support is greatly appreciated. And also shout out to our current Patreon here for supporting us at the moment. So finally, plugs. So start with you, Jack. Where can we find more from you?
I don't know why, but do want to hear more from my ramblings, then you can find me on Twitter at J_C_Watson. And you really need to smooth that out a bit. And I'm also an occasional writer for the Sportlight website, mainly looking at historical regulation changes, like evolution of F1 cars, etc., or upcoming bigger reg changes. I did a brief overview of the 2022 regs when they were first announced. And outside of F1, sports cars, that sort of thing. So you're into that sort of thing, that's where you can find me.
Amazing. And Tom?
Yeah, so if you want to hear me give more definitely not controversial opinions on Lewis Hamilton or Mercedes or anybody else on the grid, including my boy Max Verstappen, I would like to point out, I will rip into anyone, to be fair, including myself. I'm part of the Everything F1 team, so you can find us across all socials with the handle at joinEF1. Yeah, we have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, have a Discord server, YouTube channel. Apparently we have TikTok. That's now a thing. I can't say you'll ever find me on there because I'm far too old to be seen hanging around with the youths of today. And also I don't really understand it, but some of our more youthful members of EF1 post some content on there. We have our website, everythingf1.com, where I'm writing more and more articles. And finally, we have our podcast, which is on all your favorite podcasting platforms, which is the Everything F1 podcast. There's usually race preview, news, talking points. We pretty regularly have guests. We had Callum Ilott on last week. So that episode is worth a listen.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And if you want to find me on anything, it's probably just best to follow me on Twitter. And I have an equally convoluted at as Jack is. Mine is at L_G_Edwards. Just because LG Edwards is already taken. So, it's, you know, you just stick an underscore there. It just makes it somewhat unique. But yeah, if you want to listen to my opinions on Formula One, God forbid, or just any sports in general, that's usually the best place to find me. So we will be back with the race review at 5 p.m. at British Summer Time tomorrow. But firstly, I want to thank my guests for joining me. And until we see you again, stay safe and goodbye.